For we were all baptized through one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many. So how does the cooperative Spirit apply to us as a body of Christ and as Christians?
Your circuit gave me an idea. It reminded me of Christmas lights. So when you get those dreaded lights out about one time a year, and you plug it in and they don't work, and you're like, okay, it's one bulb. Mm-hmm. So there's one bulb somewhere that's not plugged in right, or it's broken or something. But that one bulb that's not right, that's broken, or is affects the whole strand. So sometimes that happens in the body when there's one thing that's just kind of out of whack, or people are bent over about, or, you know, there's some conflict going on somewhere. It puts out the light. You know, think of Revelations. A lot of those churches, their lampstands are gone. They were snuffed out, you know. So we all have to remember, we got to make sure we're plugged in. Now, we're all broken. But if we're all plugged in, we can help each other and shine our light.
Yeah. And be able to feed off one of each other, too. Because usually when somebody is strong, there's somebody else that's struggling.
Right.
And being able to take that. Anybody else?
Well, I think you have to learn to put up with a lot of junk that you don't necessarily agree with or like. And they just kind of zip your lip. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to do. And leave some things alone. And rather than causing division, difficulty, or problems for somebody else, just stop and rethink it. And even when you stop and rethink it and you still don't like it, perhaps it's best to just leave it alone.
Do you think that's something that a babe in Christ or somebody that's not as mature yet could be at that level? Or do you think that's something that comes with time and learning your own lessons and that kind of thing?
Oh, time. Time.
Yeah. I think that we also have to consider, yeah, we are a body of Christ, but each of us come into the body of Christ with our own outside relationships too. So we have husband and wife relationships, we have sister relationship, we have daughter and mother relationships, we have all kinds of relationships that are their own kind of unit and have their own relationships within this big body of Christ. And so the cooperative Spirit, yeah, talking as a church, as one church, or specifically branched off to our church, that I think also plays a part, because having that cooperative Spirit and that loving attitude toward each other will then play on what's happening in the church too. I think that some of the building blocks is really where it starts, is at home, you know, and your relationship, and then bringing that and be able to be strong, and then coming in and then being able to help everybody else too. So it was kind of deconstructing it while I was studying this, of like, well, yeah, we're one body and we always talk about our individual things, but how do we work together as, you know, as a unit that comes in, and the relationships we already have outside, and then bringing those in? Sometimes it makes it more complicated, and then sometimes it makes it the ability to kind of work as a team and help those that need it to. Anybody else with the body of Christ? How could that contribute to the cooperative Spirit?
Well, in this verse it talks about Jews and Greeks, mm-hmm. slaves and free. So these are people that really, really didn't like each other, that really treated each other badly. And God expected them to get along.
Yeah.
And whatever issues that you and I might have, just because you're young, slender, and pretty, whatever issues we might have, I need to get past it.
Yeah, well, and it is. It it's the extremes too. We're not talking about just having a relationship with somebody that you say good morning to at church. It's the people that maybe you don't have such a great relationship with, or have maybe, you know, given you a dirty look when you are dropping your kid off at school and you have no idea why. And it's not necessarily in the church, but you need to make sure that you're having that cooperative spirit and you're not turning inward and to hate.
And I appreciate what Meredith said about self-sacrifice, because along with that, I think it's grace. Mm-hmm. Giving the other person, you know, the benefit of the doubt or whatever is grace. And I think about the apostles when Jesus called them about, like, I can't even imagine being the fly on the wall. They're all so different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have some that are educated, some that are not. They come from all different walks of life, and they were put in a situation instantly and had to work together.
And took a long time, too, to be able to have them actually learn. And I think it was 3.5 years or something like that daily, where it was just basically that's all they were studying and building together on each other. And so talk about cooperative spirit and unity and being able to grow. So it is, I think, perspective, understanding, giving the benefit of the doubt, and you just don't know what that person's morning was like. You just don't have any idea, because we all think we do, because you can try to imagine, but ultimately we don't know what's going on with each and everybody's mental mindset, and then also just life, physical life. So I think those are all really good things to be able to really consider as the body of Christ, but also just kind of cooperative spirit in as being a Christian and being in the world and being able to set an example. So being a part of a whole, there are some words for the body, like relationship, fellowship, warmth, inviting, courageous, kindness, long-suffering. We're in our lesson. Do we want to add any other words to that give that cooperative spirit? I know we mentioned a few earlier that we can build on, basically.
I think love is a big one that gets lost, and seemingly it's like sometimes, you know, a lot of times the body of Christ can also be compared to like your family or your brothers and sisters, we say a lot, and somehow like the love that you would actually have in your family gets lost to the love of your brothers and sisters in Christ, because, you know, we all have annoying families. Like, your family can be super annoying. Your kids, your sisters, your real siblings. Like, you know, I disagree with probably 60% of my sister's actions, but if she needed me to drive to her to do something, like, you wouldn't even think about it. And I think that's the thing, is in the church, sometimes people are annoying because they're just people, and so they're not going to be perfect. But if you do have that love, it's easier to make it seem like not such a chore to endure and to be patient with them.
And interesting enough, too, where my mind goes is whatever, if they're annoying, it's annoying to you, or there's something they're doing that's annoying to you, but it may not be annoying to the next person. And so it's very much of that self-control and that peace of mind to be able to say, okay, am I going to give them the benefit of the doubt because this is something that is annoying me, but I can be mature here and I can be able to work through this. Also, I think when it comes to church family and in comparison to, you know, blood family, is when you go through trials together, it makes you stronger as a unit. And I feel like the time that is put in and working through trials and having the history behind you and having those quarrels and then being able to say, hey, we made it out on the other side and we're good, only makes the church family stronger too. So it's also, everything doesn't have to be perfect. Nothing's supposed to be perfect. We're all not perfect. We're here because we're imperfect. But being able to recognize that and then build off of that instead of being so frustrated and just kind of taking your toys and going home, you're able to actually work through it, and like as you would for a blood family member, and then being able to grow.
Yeah, maturity in this, when you are slighted, when you are hurt, when somebody treats you badly repeatedly,
And that will happen in the church because, like she just said, we're people. Maturity comes from, yeah, I was wrong. They did me badly. I've seen it happen many a times, and I've seen people who have left because of that.
Yes.
Because they expected people to be better than people. But that growth and that maturity to go, yep, that happened. It really stinks. I really am hurt by that. I don't know how I will overcome that in that relationship with that person. And sometimes you may not. Within a body, you may still continue to have just personality issues or hurts that you have to work on forgiveness and forbearance, just like you would want, because I know I've hurt people. I've said some horrible things to people in moments that I have really regretted. I pray that they learn to forgive me, and I pray that I learn to forgive, or at least figure out a way to go on together, working in God's kingdom, because when one person of the church leaves, no matter what the reason is, it hurts. It hurts the entire body.
Yeah.
My little toe can't just leave without there being some repercussions for that. My shoes, my feet, we're all important, and we all have that maturity level to grow to accept each other.
Yeah. And a wise woman once said, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And it sticks with me all the time. Because
Dr. Phil said
that. I know. You told me that. That's my mom. And my mom told me that. And so I didn't know where you got it from.
Dr. Phil.
Well, you got it from Dr. Phil. But it does, if you really put it in that sense of if you want to be, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that takes maturity to say, okay, this relationship that's in front of me, is it just because I think that my way is so right? Or is it because, is that worth the happiness that you can grow in from the relationship if you were able to compromise or get through it? There's a lot of different personalities and emotion and how to navigate things that we don't know. And each one of us is different. And so being able to kind of just build together and have moments like this where we're able to talk and we're able to understand each one of our insights, it's going to only make us stronger. So from the lesson, they provided three words. The three words were commitment, loyalty, and faithfulness. So commitment, when you're committed to something or something or someone or something. So the dictionary definition is a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. The word refers to one or more persons that are involved, and commitment to what or whom becomes important. So if you are committed to Christ and to one another, we will want to serve both really well. If the commitment is not there, whether we cooperate or not is besides the point, because we're not actually going after the same goal. Comments on commitment. When it comes to a group or a task, where does commitment fall for you?
Commitment's very important.
And can you be like lukewarm?
No, you're either all in or you're not in.
And I think the hardest part of it is realizing that our commitment is not based on the commitment of others. You know, if we think about that in terms of a marriage, right? Like our commitment to our spouse isn't dependent on whether or not they're doing what we think that they should be doing, or whether we feel like they're holding up their side. And so a commitment within the body of Christ is the same. It's not dependent on whether or not everybody else is holding up their part of the commitment. Your commitment to Christ, your commitment to your spouse, your commitment to the church is yours alone. And so I think, at least for me, that's a really hard part of it, right? Like, as a teacher, group projects are really tough for kids because you always have the kid that does everything. You have the kid that does nothing.
Right.
And you have the kid that will do it at the very last minute. And it's hard to help the students understand, okay, but what you have to do doesn't change based on what everybody else is doing. You still have to hold up your side of it. Mm-hmm. That's a really tough lesson, I think, for adults as well, that our commitment is not based on others.
Mm-hmm. And kind of along that idea, our commitment might not look the same as other people's commitment.
Yeah.
Like maybe, because I agree with what your mom said, you're either in or you're out. But my idea of what is fully in might look different than someone else's fully in. Like maybe the capacity for each of us is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't compare my commitment to someone else and look at them and be like, your level of commitment's not where mine is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same, I think, when on a smaller scale, not just to church, you know, all in or all out, but to each other, when we say we're going to do something with our time, or commit to an event, or commit, you know, whatever those looks like, I think it comes down to the same thing. It's that might, your capacity might look different than this person over here. So it's really easy to compare. We're at every single function, they do everything, they're always there. You know, it's really, you can put yourself in a hard place if you look at it that way. Or you can say, I'm so thankful we've got people who can be 100% available to every single thing. And it's okay that I can't go to every single thing we ever do, but I will be all in when I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Unless there's something emergent going on, you know, that you take that seriously of when you're going to commit. You're telling everyone, you know, in this room or whoever, I want to be there just to all support each other, and that goes back to, you know, the community aspect of it, of I'm all in. It just may look different than yours, but that's okay. That's why we have, it's not a church of one.
Yeah. Chris?
It's commitment first to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we have Christ as our head and we look at everyone, especially ourselves, right, with the grace that he gave us, is we need to look at each other that way. And then ultimately, our Heavenly Father is amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is huge, right? And I think it all has to boil down to, let's stop looking at each other and comparing ourselves to each other. We're all unique and special in our Heavenly Father's eyes. We are put here for a purpose. And the key is for us to focus on what he wants us to do. And when we're all pulling our own weight and doing what we are doing because we love him, because we owe our lives to him, then the body will function correctly. And it's so beautiful where it's like, you know what, you can't say to the foot, I don't need it, right? So if we were meant to be the pinky, if we were meant to be the thumb, be happy and content in that area. Because then if all of us are doing our parts, it'll make it easier, right? All that infighting, all that self-consciousness, it's really, you know what, every single one of us is a temple of God. We shouldn't have to worry and fear and say, I don't have. It should be, I have, because he gives us the power, right? His spirit is in us. And so if we start with that mindset, I think it'll be much better.
I agree. I also think, too, where, you know, you're talking about the fingers or thumbs, well, we have a bunch of different fingers, and to be able to say, you know, well, it's not, they're all exactly not the same, but they all help each other. They're all able to maybe do the same function or have the same task, but they're doing it at different times. And just seeing the email that the Howells dropped off groceries to the Gas family was like, oh, for me, I was like, they helped, and it helped me because they helped them. That just gets me. Loyalty. So, one is not to bow down to every kind of doctrine because it's its own, let me start over. Loyalty. In Matthew 6:24, one cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, which I came into. Loyalty, talking about commitment. Loyalty is another huge, heavy word that has a lot of weight. If you're not loyal, I feel like that's just like a crumbling effect, at least for me. Which I don't know what it is about up here, but you get really emotional. It's a standing up here in front of everybody. So, I know, really, though. No. So does anybody have anything to say about loyalty and how we can be loyal?
Sharpens iron. That means standing by that person in their wrong, not excusing their wrong, but helping them through it. And I think sometimes we think of blind loyalty, of, oh, just whatever you're doing, I'm supporting you. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what we're called to in the church. And I think that's really important when you're talking about loyalty. Because I'm loyal to you to get you to heaven. You know, that's from the moment I met you. See, I'm sitting here. that's my loyalty. So if I saw you taking a wrong path, you know I'm going to say something.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, as opposed to somebody who just listens to you and goes, oh, that's great, Danny, so glad you're doing that, and that's going to be awesome. No, we have a loyalty, a deeper sense of purpose here.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a two-way street, too, because if I'm not being, now we're getting into me and you, but in general, like relationships, if I'm not being loyal back, being able to say, this is what's happening in life, or opening up and being able to say, this is what's going on, or being able to give the feedback back, it's going to be very surface. And so being able to dig deeper into that relationship, I feel like is something where you don't just get loyalty overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. And loyalty to God, especially, I feel like building your relationship with God and prayer to Him and closeness and reading the Bible and being able to have the loyalty to God to know I am loyal to the Lord, and that's going to help me make the better decision. And I think if we can ultimately go back, and it's to the head of the church, like Grace was saying, of knowing it's all about God and being able to focus on that and then be able to stay loyal to each other throughout that. Anybody else on loyalty?
Faithfulness was the third word. When we truly believe something to be right, there is no reason to turn from it. We stick with our beliefs as long as they are confirmed by the word or God. This is called faithfulness. Where faithfulness is found, you will find a cooperative spirit. So with faithfulness, that's, I think, where a lot of the emotion and the heart comes into it, too. What are your thoughts on faithfulness? Being the three pillars of a cooperative spirit.
That doesn't happen overnight either, similar to loyalty. And how would you know what your beliefs are unless you've done work to figure out what is true, what you should believe in? There's a lot of things that sound really good, but do you just believe everything that you hear that sounds good? No, you look into things, you research, you read. You surround yourself with people and hear other people's opinions. So I think it takes a lot of effort on our part to figure out what is our belief, what is true, and then to hold that faith and continue to grow it.
Yeah. I think trial plays a huge part in that too, because when you go through trials and you lean on God and you're praying on your knees, it brings that faithfulness because you truly, your whole heart is in it, is involved in it. And I think that God feels it too. And the faithfulness to Him to be able to do that is what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve that deep relationship. Can you have something, Jen?
I think that faithfulness too is the commitment and the loyalty aspect of community, cooperative spirit, put into action. It's those, like, you have the commitment first, you build the loyalty, and it's your faithfulness that brings it all together. And your faithfulness that keeps that commitment going, and your faithfulness that provides that loyalty. So it's both of those kind of in action, I think, becomes your faithfulness.
Yeah, because all three of those are huge intertwining pillars of our faith. That's basically what, it's cooperative spirit in the sense of what's going to build it as a whole, but those three things, if you're lacking one of them, then it's not, the circuit's not going to work. For your own relationship with God too. So
How does, let me see. So the connection between the cooperative spirit and the terms of commitment, loyalty, and faithfulness, we went over all of that and basically having those three pillars to be able to work around each other. How does having a cooperative spirit help us in our worship together? Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, songs of spirit. Corinthians 14:26, what then shall we say to our brothers and sisters when we come together, each of you has a hymn or a work of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. How can we have a cooperative spirit to when we're worshiping together? I liked Donna's example of being able to sing. You know, if your heart's not in it, you're not building up the feeling of song when we have everyone singing feels completely different when it's a Wednesday night and there's only 10 people that are there. It feels completely different. I mean, even just having Barry gone for a service feels different. That's, you know, so having the ability to worship together, what is something that we can continue to be cooperative like you guys are doing now? Danielle.
Well, and I think, too, everyone gets different things out of different parts of the worship service. Mm-hmm. We could have singing night and never have a sermon, and that would be fun. Mm-hmm. That's just how I relate to God more. The words, you know, the words of the songs is something that I'm taking very seriously when I'm singing it. Like, that's, I'm focusing on those. My head's a different place than it's, I think I get easily distracted when it's just one guy talking up there and I'm listening. That part.
Yeah.
But the song service part, that's something for me personally, is just where I feel like I get the most worship out of. So when someone decides they don't like a song, so they don't want to sing it. I would never have noticed.
No,
so
I wouldn't
many times
either.
Singing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not looking around going,
yeah, who's singing?
Notes
I mean, I might start.
Singing.
Oh,
but, you know,
I kind of thank God.
But I do, I know that there are little kids.
Yeah.
I always think about, well, the kids are watching. If I'm standing with Skylar, like, I want him. I don't want to be like, singing. Like, I don't want to have that because I want him to just want to.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm setting the example. That's huge.
And it's because there's someone else watching him,
mm-hmm,
who is, you know, the same as me. They're getting what they need from the song, and you know that's the part that they need the most right in that moment. Translate that to the service, to the community, you know, every single piece, everyone's getting something different out of it, and people need larger or smaller pieces of all those, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think Jolene actually was the one that we could have stopped the class right after her comment. It's just, everybody's going to have their own take on church and life and their own, they bring their own baggage. Everybody brings their own stuff. And so it's really just trying to make sure that you and your mindset are trying to work forward and mature and be able to process everything in a loving manner.
There's a reason why those big mega churches draw people in, right? And they have the whole band up front, because the worship at those churches are coming from the outside in. That's not what we're called to. We're called to worship from the inside out. And so you have to look at, are you giving your heart? Are you expecting everybody else to do that for you?
And so communion. So I was thinking about what everyone's talking about, and it all boils down to the cause. Why are we here? Do we really take that to heart? And it was fascinating because I was spending time with my nieces, and we were talking about, hey, you know, where are you at with your relationship with God? Because we're not guaranteed. And they admitted, they said, you know, I don't feel the sense of urgency. And there was they were hesitant about, you know, if I get baptized, if I give myself to the Lord. I understand that, right? Because everything in the world is so tempting. And even those of us who have been baptized, a lot of us are like, man, you know, I'm so busy, right? We have the mind of Martha. And we forget because we're so spoiled here in the United States. We don't have to wake up or even know that, you know, are we going gonna wake up, right? What if the nuclear bomb came? We'd be vaporized in an instant. We wouldn't even know. So, you know, I basically was like, you know what? I told him, and they also said, fear of being perfect. I have to be perfect. If I'm going to be a Christian, I have to be perfect. And I told him, I said, you know, our Heavenly Father's not like that. He gives us an out as long as we're willing to admit that we make a mistake and we change. I don't want him to change, right? The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away our sins. But the key is, what is our cause? And so when we're talking about this, what is it that should unify us in terms of, especially the song, none of me and all of me? That should be our path in our life right now. And we should be okay with each other, encouraging each other, saying, you know what, yeah, we made a mistake, I've been there too, we're not perfect, let's go on this road together, because he died for us. You know, and a lot of people like to think about, oh yeah, he died for us. It's not trite. I mean, I really appreciate our brothers who bring us to that moment, but we ourselves should be convicted enough and thankful enough that, you know what, Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me wake up another breath. What am I here for? I'm here so that you can be in others' hearts, like you're working in mine, right? Salvation, his good work, his good deed, that's our purpose. And if we can focus on that, hopefully, you know, we won't have all these infighting and so many different denominations. Like, what is that, right?
Very well put. With worship also comes, how can we be cooperative through Bible study, and also his work. So being able to be out and be shining his light and being able to help others, but also be able to say, this isn't from me. I'm just working through the Lord. And being able to say, you know, what is it that people do need, and being able to have the cooperative spirit enough to get over yourself is really what it comes down to. And as humans, we are extremely selfish, and that's what one thing with maturity, I feel like, and sometimes not with maturity, or I shouldn't say maturity, with age, there's some things that age doesn't mean maturity. And as we kind of go over more of like the worship together and Bible studies and the great work and fellowshipping together. I think the term fellowship is just another word for togetherness and doing things together to be able to have a cooperative spirit. So it goes back, I've said it a few times now, of when we are doing things like this together, it's going to help us grow. It's going to help us give perspective. It's going to help us understand and learn from each other. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled in awe and the many wonders of the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together as has everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in their temples. They broke bread. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favors for all people. And the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. So they were being selfless. They were going and sharing and selling possessions and being able to build each other up and have a cooperative spirit because they were working together. They were all working together.
I was just going to say that it brought up the sincere hearts. And that's
yes.
One thing that it didn't really talk about in here when it talked about commitment, loyalty, and faithfulness. Because
mm-hmm.
our attitude is going to portray a lot of that. I mean, we've been studying Jonah on Wednesday nights, and if you look, he was loyal to God, but he went grumbling and complaining the whole time, and I've done that before. I'm sure we all have.
Yeah.
So our attitude and sincere hearts play a huge part in how this comes across.
How it does come across. The, I'm not sure. Without, with, you know, sincere hearts,
reaching into Bible studies and having Quapper Spirit and involvement and being able to study God's word and being able to take those out without having the grumbling or the, I feel like as humans we can just go about it and be like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, or this is how it's supposed to be done, or oh, I need to do this. But if your heart's not in the right place, then is that really helping the next person? Is that really something that wants? Are you raising your hand or just?
Well, I'm poking my
You're poking
eye.
Your eye.
I find that I just go grumbling and do things, and I don't want to do it, but I don't like it. I go do it. Eventually, you like doing it, and you feel better about it afterwards. And I think that that is something that is guided by the Holy Spirit, that is an indwelling, because there's just it's hot. I don't want to go do certain things, and but if I just get up and go do it, and I can grumble all the way there, I'm going to feel better later. I'm glad that I did it. And I think that has to do with perseverance and loyalty and faithfulness, all of these things together. And I think it has to do also, you mentioned study. I am old enough and have been in the church long enough that I knew some of the best Christians in the world who were illiterate. And they didn't spend a lot of time in study, but they got it. They heard, they knew enough, and they implemented it by the lives that they lived. You know, I grew up in a church where some of the elders, they had eighth grade educations, my grandfather being one of them. That's a story. But they got it, and they did the work. They weren't always reading. They were implementing all the time. And, you know, if somebody studies physics forever and doesn't become a physicist, well, what good is that? And I think it's the same thing. There are people who know the scriptures upside down and backwards, and they do nothing about it. Just keep reading, just keep studying. I know this, I've read that. But their life, they're just cloistered doing that. And I personally think we need to get away from doing that and doing.
Yeah. You have to take the information, but you got to work with it too.
You got to use it.
We had a great sermon last Sunday about joy, and for some reason, your lesson today, and thank you for teaching me positivity, it's bringing me back to Abel and Cain. Mm-hmm. And it's like, which one are we? Are we Cain, grumbling and complaining that we have to sacrifice something? Or are we Abel, looking for our best to sacrifice? Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to kind of do a reflection, an introspective reflection. Because I get the grumbling. We're tired. I mean, women are tired. The doctor said, you know, are you tired? Well, not every woman was tired.
Yeah. What is not tired? I think I'm tired, but I'm not really sure because I'm always tired. You know, so.
But we still have to have that joyful heart.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, your giving is not from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to be careful where we're coming from and how we're approaching God.
I had more to kind of cover too. We have the last 5 minutes. With the there's different approaches, obviously, we've talked about. In Ephesians 4:1-3, a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live with a life worthy of calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If we can't control other people, and that's a decision that we have to make as an individual to be able to consciously make the effort to obey this and to be able to follow it. Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being for one accord and of one mind. Some ways that we obviously can continue the unity is working together, thinking about how we can be concerned Think about what and being concerned about things at the same time. So basically, how can I help individuals? But it doesn't mean I have to help everyone. Going back to, you know, some people are going to have closer relationships with the next person. So help in the way that you can and where you're the strongest and what it is that you can add to the body. Sharing in love in the process. 1 Corinthians 14:40. But all things should be done decently and in order. So basically just trying to really take that cooperative spirit and we want to make sure things are the circuit and are working in an orderly way. Even though we do have our own skill sets, it's definitely trying to take those strongest attributes and make them the best that we can make them. And Romans 12:14, blessed are those who are prosecuted. Bless those who prosecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice in those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And live in harmony with one another. It's not just about cooperation, but cooperation in the truth and in the Lord and keeping him the head and understanding what we're all going after the same goal. And it's all to get to heaven. And we want to help each other to get there. And we can accomplish great things if we are working together and we're giving each other the support that we need and being open-minded and sharing in love. Does anybody have any last comments? So I have these brain twister kind of things that I'm going to hand out. And we've done this kind of in the past, and it's always given you a little thing to walk away with. But basically, you can be united, right? And you could, but without cooperation and understanding of how you're going to get these things apart, it can get really, really frustrating. So, I know. So I have one for everyone. If you want to take one home, just to kind of remember the class and the cooperative spirit.
Thank you.
And then here, right? Just kidding. There's a few of these.